Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is Think and Grow Rich Thursday, April 26, 2012. I tell you what, I'm excited. You know, every once in a while you have a little bit of negativity come at you, and I had a little bit come at me yesterday, and I was working on dealing with that. And just being on the line this morning, hearing people, men and women, all throughout the United States and in other countries eventually, I believe. We may have some outside the U.S. now. But the bottom line is hearing each one of your voices hop on the line here and your name and where you're calling from and just realizing the fascinating thing that we have a whole group of entrepreneurs and people scattered all over the place who are willing to get on a call every morning like this, learn and grow together, who are excited about life and excited about understanding things on a deeper level and you know, moving forward with more power, understanding life on a deeper level, seeking truth, endeavoring to change, endeavoring to find, discover and eradicate false beliefs. I can hear all of that in your voices, and I just got to tell you, it energizes me, it inspires me, it lifts me up, and it really, this is such a powerful part of my day, and I just want to start off the call by saying thank you for being somebody who is different. Thank you for being somebody who really is a beacon of light. And I know we're all, you know, working on shining brighter, but just the fact that we're on this call every morning is an indication that we are a beacon of light, and I just want to thank you for that. We're going to jump right into Chapter 3 of The Science of Getting Rich this morning. It is a good chapter, it is a short chapter, but it is a powerful chapter, and it is a deep chapter. So I feel we're going to have a lot to talk about after this. And it's entitled, Is Opportunity Monopolized? No one is kept poor because other people have monopolized the wealth and have put a fence around it. You may be shut off from engaging in business in certain lines, but there are other channels open to you. At different periods, the tide of opportunity sets in different directions according to the needs of the whole and the particular stage of social evolution which has been reached. There is abundance of opportunity for the person who will go with the tide instead of trying to swim against it. So workers, either as individuals or as a class, are not deprived of opportunity. The workers are not being kept down by their masters. They are not being ground by the trusts and big business. As a class, they are where they are because they do not do things in a certain way. The working class may become the master class whenever they will begin to do things in a certain way. The law of wealth is the same for them as it is for all others. This they must learn, and they will remain where they are as long as they continue to do as they do. The individual worker, however, is not held down by an entire class's ignorance of these laws. He can follow the tide of opportunity to riches, and this book will tell him how. No one is kept in poverty by a shortness in the supply of riches. There is more than enough for all. A palace as large as the Capitol at Washington might be built for every family on earth from the building material in the United States alone. And under intensive cultivation, this country would produce wool, cotton, linen, and silk enough to clothe each person in the world finer than Solomon was arrayed in all his glory, together with food enough to feed them all luxuriously. The visible supply is practically inexhaustible, and the invisible supply really is inexhaustible. Everything you see on earth is made from one original substance, out of which all things proceed. New forms are constantly being made, and older ones are dissolving, but all are shapes assumed by one thing. There is no limit to the supply of formless stuff or original substance. The universe is made out of it, but it was not all used in making the universe. The spaces in, through, and between the forms of the visible universe are permeated and filled with the original substance, with the formless stuff, with the raw material of all things. 10,000 times as much as has been made might still be made, and even then we should not have exhausted the supply of universal raw material. No one, therefore, is poor because nature is poor, or because there is not enough to go around. Nature is an inexhaustible storehouse of riches. The supply will never run short. Original substance is alive with creative energy and is constantly producing more forms. When the supply of building material is exhausted, more will be produced. When the soil is exhausted so that foodstuffs and material for clothing will no longer grow upon it, it will be renewed or more soil will be made. When all the gold and silver has been dug from the earth, if humanity is still in such a stage of social development that it needs gold and silver, more will be produced from the formless. The formless stuff responds to the needs of mankind. It will not let the world be without any good thing. This is true of man collectively. The race as a whole is always abundantly rich, and if individuals are poor, it is because they do not follow the certain way of doing things which makes the individual rich. The formless stuff is intelligent. It is stuff which thinks. It is alive, and it is always impelled toward more life. It is the natural and inherent impulse of life to seek to live more. It is the nature of intelligence to enlarge itself, and of consciousness to seek to extend its boundaries and find fuller expression. The universe of forms has been made by formless living substance, throwing itself into form in order to express itself more fully. The universe is a great living presence, always moving inherently toward more life and fuller functioning. Nature is formed for the advancement of life, and its impelling motive is the increase of life. Because of this, everything which can possibly minister to life is bountifully provided. There can be no lack unless God is to contradict himself and nullify his own works. You are not kept poor by lack in the supply of riches. It is a fact which I shall demonstrate a little farther on, that even the resources of the formless supply are at the command of the man or woman who will act and think in a certain way. So some some deep stuff today, folks. You know, one key idea I think we can take from this chapter that is, you know, kind of deep but not as deep, is that the universe really is abundant. And, you know, do we have a scarcity mentality or do we have abundant mentality? Do we think that things are limited, that opportunity is monopolized, that, you know, all the success to be had is already had, that, you know, all the people that we're going to get into our business are already in? Or do we realize that literally there is an abundant and ever abundant supply of every good thing that we could ever want to have into our lives? Very, very key philosophy of the wealthy, as I've studied and met wealthy people. Some of the wealthy people that I know, one in particular, is totally and are totally abundant, of the abundant mentality mindset. So that's one key idea I think we can talk about. And then the other idea that is quite a bit deeper that comes from this chapter is this concept of the formless stuff being intelligence. And the formless stuff making up the things which we see in our physical reality. And that part, that particular piece of information is very deep. I know I do not understand it. But one thing that's fascinating is that this book was written in the early 1900s, and some of the science of today, 2012, is actually verifying that in a way that's astonishing. Todd, one of my friends and callers here, one of our valued callers, told me about a documentary on Netflix. It was called The Quantum Activist. And I started watching this thing last night, and I'll have to admit, it really was deep. A lot of it went right over my head. But I did notice enough to realize that some of the things that this quantum physicist, this world-renowned quantum physicist who actually wrote college textbooks, introductory college textbooks on quantum mechanics, some of the things that he was saying last night fits right in with some of the philosophy from this book, that our realities are literally made up of this formless stuff, this intelligent stuff. Call it, energy, call it consciousness. I don't know what you want to call it. Again, I don't understand it, but it's fascinating to me to hear that the science of the day, the latest and most current science, is literally proving these things out. So, couple of ideas there. Love to hear your thoughts, and who knows where this discussion is going to go, but I'll tell you, I'm excited about it. Let me open up the lines here. Star 6 to unmute your line.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, hey, good morning, Melvin.
Yeah, I think the main thing about what you just spoke of and is the fact that the only limitations we have is in our thinking. And if each of us can just recognize that we have no limitations in terms of what we're capable of doing or our power, the power within us, except the thinking process. That's it. And with that thinking, you can take yourself as low as you care to, or you can take yourself as high is your thinking that you control will allow you to go, and it's all thinking. So that plus the fact that we need to police ourselves and listen to what we say. Start listening to what others say, too, because, you know, you can learn by paying attention to other people. You can watch what people do. I would watch people, you know, kind of like digging in their, when I was a child, I remember you watch someone digging in their nose and you say, ooh, boy, that looks terrible. And so you realize, darn, you know, I got to make sure I don't do that. I got to stop doing that. So it's not like just observing other people or listening to other people. You can get a lot that you can learn from them and apply to your own life. And so not only watch your own thinking, but listen to what other people say when they say, think like, you know, I'll try to make it, or if I don't know if that'll work, or darn, this is one of the things I hear people say all the time. Man, this has been one hectic day. This has been so. I said, what do you mean by hectic? And I listen to what they have to say, and I say that's nothing hectic about that. I mean, all you do is this, that, and the other. I mean, that's done. But when you use terms like this is hectic, or this is one of those days, or man, or you just blow things out of proportion and you create your own problem. So the thinking that you do and the words that you use, if we just start correcting those and adjusting those, it's going to make a world of a difference to each and every single one of us. So it's back to the only limitations we have is our thinking. Back to you, Paul.
Very true, Melvin. Very true and very well said. Appreciate your comment. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, my friends.
Good morning, is that Rick?
Yeah. You know, my phone, somebody lifted my phone. Well, I goofed in Las Vegas, so I'm back on that phone. That wasn't all that clear, but let's see what can come through the line today. Because I want to take everybody back to the title of the book, Think and Grow Rich. And I know we're on the science of getting rich, yes, but think and grow rich. Okay, riches. We already born with riches. Okay, we have a system where we can use, and it's a way of distributing things and see who's used their imagination more effectively, get more wealthy. Okay, and so. When you understand, when you take a look and go back as far as you'd like to go, you realize everything springs from thought. Where did all this stuff come from? It comes from our imagination, our thought. I go back to I want to take you back to 1928. Mark Cooney. Listen to this. Remember this. This story. His friends, his closest friends, had him locked up in a psychopathic ward. And I don't know if it's a psychiatric, psychopathic, whatever it is, you guys understand, what, madhouse. Okay, let's put it that way. Because they thought he was nuts. Think about it. Go back, 1928. In fact, when he developed radio through his imagination, I don't think anything is topped that today, in my opinion. Not the airplanes, not anything we do, not computers. Hasn't, in my opinion, yet topped what that really, what happened, what's created, okay? I mean, through the ether, the vibration of thought, the very thing that makes radio works is the very thing that we use to create energy, mass. It's never been destroyed. I challenge people on this line and let you know that we are immortal in the sense that energy is never destroyed. Your thoughts alone are energy. I talked about building blocks about 3-4 weeks on this call, and you got to remember, go back to those building blocks because your thoughts are never destroyed. It's incredible. Opportunity never goes away. It may pass you by and go to someone else, but everything we think are things. Vibrations of thought, vibrations. You walk in somewhere, you don't have to open up your mouth. People know what you're thinking, their attitude, your physiology is speaking. Somebody said your actions speak louder than your words. What you're doing? Imagination, get back to that. What you're thinking of, your imagination. I think Dougal Stewart says the only thing that separates us from the brute is our imagination. Synthetic and otherwise creative. These are stuff we learned from guys like Napoleon Hill, Emerson. These are the people. Thought is everything. We got to get right back to that. Thought, thinking stuff. The stuff are made of thought. Nothing else but your thought. See how well you can cultivate your own thought, your own mind. Back to you, Paul.
Excellent comments, Rick. As always, appreciate those thoughts. Star 6, who's next?
Judy from Florida.
Hey, Judy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
I am more than excellent. I am just blown away. I've gone through this chapter. I've got most of it all highlighted, and one of the things that comes out at me is there can be no lack unless God is to contradict himself and nullify his own works. I have mentioned a book, Sermon on the Mount by Emmett Fox, and he reiterates that God cannot go against God's own nature. And I think of God as an acronym for good, orderly direction. I have a roommate who thinks that I care about anything, and it's the point. I'm at the point. I don't sweat the small stuff. I don't think negatively. I think positively. And the right thinking is righteousness. That goes into religion, blah, blah, blah. I don't go there. But it is right thinking. And this is developing my thinking more rightly. As has been mentioned, it is thought. Thought develops into form. And I believe I'm here to express that. That is my nature. That is my humanism, is to express the nature of the universe, and that is abundant. And like you said, this is a very deep chapter. And I love getting deep. I really do. With what I've learned and to open myself up to learn more. Because I am thirsty for this. I am thirsty for learning more and more and more. And I just wanted to throw that out, that I truly believe that intelligence cannot go against its own nature. and that we are here to express that. And I'm here to develop it and get rich. Thank you, Paul. Back to you.
Love it, Judy. Love those thoughts. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, this is Tim from Lakeland.
Hey, Tim. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to let Judy know that I was on the call, and I was listening to what you were reading. And it sounds like when they wrote that book that they must have read the Bible a lot, because a lot of it's what you were reading is stuff that you will find in the Bible, through and through the Bible. And, you know, I heard a phrase from a pastor one time who came to our church. He said he was talking about the prosperity of man. And he made a statement, and it stuck with me, that, you know, being poor is a state of mind, and being broke is only temporary. You know, and I've done a lot of different businesses in my time, and I've always told people that, you know, it doesn't matter what the business is. I mean, you go out there and sell toothpicks, as long as you put the time and effort in it, and not, you know, not let people, or always call them dream stealers, because, you know, anything you do, there's always somebody that's going to be negative. Those people are the people that you try not to associate yourself with. I mean, you know, you can be a friend, but don't let them be, you know, attach themselves to you like a, you know, like a virus or something, because those people are the type of people that will steal your dreams, steal your fortune, so to say. But I'm looking at this business, and I like what I saw, and just let Judy know that I like what I saw. And, yeah, I'm going through a few things, but, you know, the dream stealers are out there, because I met one just this morning. But, you know, I've learned to put a shield around myself, you know, to be a positive thinker. You know, you always got to think and look forward. You know, don't look back, because back there is nothing. You know, that was, and it still is back there. But, you know, you got to, just like the Bible tells you, that, you know, to push forward to that mark, to your calling, whatever your calling may be in life, as you look forward. Shake the things off from behind and press forward. And that's the same with this business that, you know, I'm looking at that and I'm discussing it with my wife. But anyway, I think you got something here, and I'm looking forward to get started with it. Back to you.
Tim, thank you for those great comments. You've really added a lot of value to our call this morning, and really appreciate you being on the line, and hope you'll come back and continue to join us as we move forward here together.
All righty.
Star 6, who's next? Being poor is a state of mind, Tim said. Being broke is temporary. As long as you're willing to change that state of mind, absolutely, being broke is temporary. Star 6. Yes, who's that?
Jane from Melbourne.
Oh, Jane, hi, good morning.
Good morning, how are you guys?
Great, how are you?
Good. I read in one of the many books I've read, it explained that the subconscious, what we tell the subconscious in our conscious thoughts, does not know the difference between a thought that is based on something that's already solid and real, like a desk. Okay, if I look at a desk and I think desk. Okay, if I imagine that I want a desk and I believe that I have that desk, okay, the subconscious doesn't know the difference. So that's where our thoughts, because we're talking about form, I guess, and that's where our thoughts make the form. They make it, our thoughts, into forms. And that's why it's so important, as we've all said, as to what we feed our mind, those thoughts that we think. Things as simple as, oh, I'll die if he does that. I don't, you know, if you just tell yourself you're tired, you're going to be tired. And so our subconscious makes our thoughts into form. And while I'm on the call, I came across two books that I'm going to send my son. And just as a, you know, an off that they're really easy books. Everyone should read. They're by Chris Widener. One is called 12 Pillars, and the other is called The Angel Inside. A very small, short book. And that's it. I hope you all have a good day.
Thank you, Jane. Really appreciate those thoughts. Very key points you mentioned. I've read that also. The subconscious mind cannot tell the difference between a real or an imagined experience or form, as you put it. And that's definitely where it starts, developing that form in the mind. Star 6, who's next?
Paul? Dave
Palmer
here.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Great to hear your voice today.
It's good to be here. I wanted to tell you that I have really been enjoying these morning sessions, and you're doing a fantastic job. But I read a book many years ago, and I told you about it. The title of this book was Hung by Your Tongue, and it's very true. We have to be very, very, very careful about what we let come out of our mouth and how we think. Everybody's been talking about our thinking, and I'm convinced that the formless stuff that you talked about begins right here in our heads. Even Solomon talked about being hung by your tongue in the Proverbs. He said, you're snared by the words of your mouth. And we let things go out of our mouth, and sometimes this is because of the association of our association with the people around us. We go to work, and the big share of the people sometimes that we work with are very, very negative if we listen to them very, very, very closely, and we have to be careful about what we allow into our subconscious mind. And that's one of the things I really enjoy and I'm enjoying about these morning sessions is that I'm hanging around with people who are not in that category. And I just wanted to mention this morning.
Really appreciate those thoughts, Dave. Thanks for coming out and sharing. Again, everyone's adding so much value, and I can tell you I appreciate being around you and everyone else on the call. Just like you said, it really is a true source of power. So thank you, my friend, for being who you are and being on this call and sharing with us.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
You know, to jump on what he just had to say there, or should I say to add to that, I can recall that when I was younger and when I went to service and I came back from service and I was sitting at the table with my family and I said, pass the damn bread. And every other word out of my mouth was a curse word. I don't think I could say two or three words without cursing. And even the way I talked, even the way I said things, it made me start realizing once I started realizing that we're just picking up on this stuff, and like he said about being around the people that we work, or it could be our family or anyone, you start adopting and you start talking the way they talk, or you start using the same words and terms, and you don't really give any thought to it, and that ends up controlling and running your life. And if you give some real thought to it, you didn't decide that, you just allowed it to happen. And you, in a sense, gave up control of your life. So we do need to police ourselves and realize there's so much that we say and think and do that we need to get rid of. I heard someone use the word "I guess this" rather than to say that "I think this." Even to use the term "I guess" is one that we need to get rid of. You know, I guess I should do this, or I guess that. You know, it's amazing how many words, guess and try and I don't know, the terms that we use that we do ourselves in with. So very important point that he just covered and pointed out there. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Melvin. Excellent comments. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
This is Marty.
Hey, Marty. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Just a quick comment. And I'm trying to remember the exact title of the book. I read a book a couple years ago, and I believe it was called The Magic Lantern. And in one of the chapters, it had said, reverting to mind control, it was your mind and your subconscious, the subconscious and your brain, they work against each other or sometimes together. And what it was is when you do something consistently and you're thinking outside the box and getting out of your comfort zone and all of a sudden something sudden, it doesn't work, and you're feeling uncomfortable, subconsciously your mind is being told to go back to what felt comfortable, fall into your old habits, and you're always fighting that. So when something doesn't happen and it doesn't feel right, maybe because you're growing, you're thinking outside the box, but I believe it said in the chapter that, hey, you know what, don't listen to it, try to ignore that, but the brain is always being told, go back to your comfort zone. Subconsciously is being told that. So I thought the book was a magic lantern. I thought it was pretty good, that one little chapter. So that's all I had to say. And I thank you again for doing these calls. These are fantastic, and I love them. That's all I got to say. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Marty. Great comment. And, you know, I think just to kind of add on to what you're saying, your subconscious mind, as we all know and as are learning more about, is kind of like a – you know, it's a tape recorder. It controls all of our automatic motions. It you know, our habits are stored there. It's the automatic, you know, Maxwell Maltz calls it the automatic success or automatic failure mechanism. Automatic because it happens automatic. And I love what you just shared there, because that I think that's so true. When we feel a little bit uncomfortable, that conscious mind is working against the subconscious mind. The conscious mind is saying to the subconscious mind, no, hey, my dreams are over here. I got to go this way. And the subconscious mind is saying, you know what, though? We're so used to just kicking back and relaxing and watching TV and doing all this other stuff, and the conscious mind is saying, no, I don't want to do that. So you have that conflict. I think that's so relevant that you pointed that out, Marty, and I thank you for that. And also along this line, I just want to throw out here that this is why it is so important, and I'm learning this myself, folks. I am a student. I am not a master of this by any stretch of the imagination, but this, I believe, is why Marty just articulated it so well. This, I believe, is why so many of the great authors and the great visionaries say to us, like Napoleon Hill said to us and like Maxwell Maltz said to us, take 30 minutes out of your day and visualize, meditate, visualize, see yourself as you want to be. See yourself performing this successful action. See yourself in your ideal future. Because, and I believe this one reason this is so important is because when we do this, we're actually working on that subconscious mind and training that subconscious mind to perform in our favor rather than and automatically to perform in our favor automatically rather than work against us like Marty said happens, you know, if we don't do that work. So just wanted to throw that out there. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul. Hey, George.
Paul.
George, go ahead, sir.
All right, you know, I'm listening to this and I'm trying to think about what the subconscious mind is really capable of. Everybody agrees that it knows no bounds, no boundaries, and that you plan your day and do everything through the subconscious level, there are no limitations on what you're able to do. And you can, because it has no negative impact whatsoever. So I think it's very deep topic, and I would like to know more about that because it is intriguing. And that's what I just wanted to add to this call.
Awesome. Great. Always great to hear your voice, George. Appreciate that comment. Someone was jumping out there with George. Who is that?
Yeah, this is Rick. It was Rick, Paul. It's something I wanted to say that I think pretty much everyone has pretty much heard this before. And it goes back to what Melvin was saying and the other gentleman that followed him. And we know that negative is automatic. And if you've heard the statement that you can take the guy out of the ghetto, but you can't take the ghetto out of the guy. Now, there's some truth to that. Because, you see, the information that goes in, the negative information, it never goes away. You actually, what you have to do is actually, you have to get around people, reading books, audio, listening to a lot more information, positive information, to dilute the negative. In fact, it'll be crazy to think that a person who is skilled in street smarts, okay, to all of a sudden disappear, is living in the streets for 20 years, and another 20 years he's gone positive. Do you think that street smart disappear? If he gets into a situation, that's going to come back. it gets in a situation where it requires him or her to respond, that's going to be there where he can receive information, pick up from the ether that will automatically, what you would say, go and make a withdrawal. So you see, it's like 50 Cent. I don't know if you've read 50 at Law, 50 Cent and Robert Greene. You see, where 50 Cent was able to use the things he learned on the street, in music, in business, and actually many people, conglomerates, have to look to what he was doing and to embrace what was happening in the music industry. This is happening in the 50s. If you read this book, 50 at Law, you're going to be blown away and understand exactly what I'm talking about. The stuff you've learned and you try to unlearn, it's not possible. That information never goes away. But you have to dilute it with more information. It doesn't go away, friends. I think we understand this. That's how powerful the human brain is. This stuff do not go away. You have to dilute it. So get busy. Everybody has to get busy because negative, it's always there. You need negative in any way to have a spark. You need negative and positive. Can you imagine everyone walking around positive? How would you know when you've been positive anyway? If everybody is just negative, what? You're going to get a varying degree? Well, you need to get more positive. You see, it doesn't go away, friends. Understand this. So we all got to get busier. If you really think about what I just said, you'll understand that you can't really fight this. But knowing that, have fun with it. Get more positive, because the negative will always come back to you. And thank you for letting me talk again. I appreciate that. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Rick. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul. This is Neville.
Good morning, Neville.
How are you this morning?
Great. Thanks for asking.
And to everyone who's out there and everything else. And I heard Rick just mentioned 50 Cent. And if you all take a look at this young man, he has come a long way, and he's brilliant in some of the things that he's doing and has done. And even the charity, the give backs, and the thing that he's doing to give back to people. He's generous of heart and everything else. I've been reading some and getting some information from some other people, and it says here in life that it's who you listen to, what you read, who you listen to, and your ability to be taught, your teachability index, allows you, like Rick said, to reprogram, dilute, or encapsulate and bury the negative things that we have been programmed with through our life from society. We are not just a clean sheet. When the baby is born, even before the baby is born, we can program that child in the mother's womb to certain things. So the environment in which we are, even when in our mother's tummy until now, we are being programmed, and most of the programming we are receiving in our society is negative. And Dr. Fran mentioned something either yesterday or a couple of days ago, where he said that you should attend the company meetings when they have everybody together. Because 99.9% of the time when you go to these meetings, the people who are there are positive thinking, energized, and they are loving and they are enjoying life and they're looking forward to the future. Like I said, tomorrow, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is the promissory note. Today is what we have. Those people living for it today and looking at tomorrow, but they're living today as if it's the last day. Once you do that, and once you have that positive energy flowing within the sphere where we all are in that room at the meeting, that energy magnifies itself. So all of us in that meeting or in that situation are being energized by through the ether, like Marconi. They tell you about, nobody believed him, and it does. Like the book told us this morning, we all looked at space and said, out in space, it's empty as a vacuum. No, it's not a vacuum. Out there is part of the ether. Man might not know it, but there's no reason for this whole world to have got to have created this whole world and so much space and nothingness is there. So, yes, we are not limited. We are limited only by our thoughts and our actions. There's no limit to anything in this world. The Bible states that there's nothing new under the sun, which means whatever it is that we can think of is there waiting, or is created already, waiting for us to call on it to come into being. So as long as we are here and we use our mouth when we say things, to say positive things, like we're doing on this line, like we are energizing each other each day and here, and we are talking to each other, and the love goes out not only from to us on this line, and we take that love and we bring it to us as we walk each day, then we are passing on that positive energy. And I hope Dr. Fryer is out this morning, because he can explain these things so explicitly and so clearly. But these things that are there for us is already there. And let me add one last thing. We talk about the subconscious and programming the subconscious. We have to reprogram our subconscious. But we got to learn to do things so well that we unconsciously do the right things when the situation calls for it. And somebody brought it to mind to me recently at the last Super Bowl, when the Giants were going down the field to get that last touchdown. And the play that was called was not the play that the quarterback looked at or the receiver went with. They went for a play that was in their subconscious and brought out and played by reaction. When we have reprogrammed our subconscious, our reaction will be controlled by the subconscious. And if we are programmed in the right way with the right things, then I believe all good things will flow to us. Because we will fight off the negative, we will control it, we will be able to push it aside and accentuate the positive. Thank you for the time. Back to you, sir.
Thank you, Neville. Wow, a lot of wisdom there. Thank you so much for sharing those thoughts with us. Really appreciate that. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul.
Hello?
Let's see. I think I heard Todd Young first, and then the lady. Todd, go ahead.
Okay, you know what? You are more than welcome. Let this lady go first. I'd be more than happy to go second.
Hey, Paul?
You weren't the lady, Melvin, but yeah, you got something real quick.
Paul.
Yeah.
Just the comment. There's a lot of people speaking, and they're not speaking up loud enough.
Oh, okay. Yeah, a good comment. If you're speaking, try to speak into the phone. Some of the voices are a little bit faint. Well, let's let the lady go first. That's a great, great idea, Todd.
Okay, Todd Young. This is Anita Young. Thank you. I just have a short thing to say. If you're out there and you listen for positive, you'll find it. If you listen for negative, you also find that. But on the radio this morning, it was so neat because it was just kind of confirms a lot I needed this morning. And it says the same, it's from Psalms, they said, the same God that gives us help is the same God that created heaven and earth. And I thought that was so powerful. And I love all the positive feedback from my Think and Grow Rich family. And I just love each and every one of you. Back to you.
Thanks, Anita. Appreciate those comments, and feelings are mutual, as you know. Todd, go ahead, sir. I was hoping you'd jump out here.
Yes, sir. Good morning to everybody. You know, I tell you, I just so love being on this call in the morning. You know, I've been in this industry a long time. It's so refreshing to hear everybody, and the wisdom that is on this call is it's just so far superior to any college course you could ever, ever take. I mean, this is just a high-class college course being on this call in the morning. And, Melvin, you are really an intelligent individual, and everything that you say is just so on track. I can certainly tell that you have been a practitioner, of this book, just as you have been, Rick. You know, hearing your thoughts this morning really have changed me. Everything that I've heard here. Tim and Jane, some of the things that you said, Jane said something, it's what we see in our minds that is real, and that's so fundamentally correct. And, something that Dave said, the association of the people that are around us is so important, and it is. I mean, all these little snippets that people get, some folks that are on the call hear different things, You know, of course, Doc Fran, you know, said yesterday when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And everybody that's on this call are on different levels. And, you know, I was talking with Paul yesterday, and, you know, I told him that, you know, the folks that get the most out of the call are all of us that's on the call. And we get so much out of this call that we want to attract and invite others to it, and that's imperative because it all starts with thought. Some of the things, you know, also that, you know, that Marty said, very, very profound. You know, your brain does take you back to your comfort zone. That is also true. Relapsing in anything in life is the easy way out. It's like gravity. Gravity is natural. And our brains will take you back to your comfort zone. That's why it's important, this thought, this brain that we use, which, you know, we're human beings. I believe we are, as Jim Rohn says, you know, an advanced animal form of the animal kingdom. And Neville, your comments were really right on track and, you know, just very, very profound. But, you know, I look at life and I look at, you know, our thought, Marty said something about the magic lantern. You know, I've always thought in my mind, you know, that genie, that magic lantern that we were taught as young children, that all you have to do is rub this lamp and you'll get three wishes, you know, and I relate that to our brain is all you have to do is think something and that wish will come true for you. So it's very similar to, you know, rubbing the magic lantern. But the beautiful thing about life is you get more than three wishes and you rub that magic lantern, which is you practicing thought. And learning what thought will do and how it is transferred into its physical equivalent, you will continue to practice with your mind. Thoughts are the lubricant for creation. And, our thoughts really, create our universe. And everything that we see around us started with a thought, whether it be homes, cars, clothes, money, anything that you see around you in your physical day in life was created by somebody else's thought. Somebody else had a thought, then they had a burning desire to go out and create, had that thought be created because it's something they wanted to do. And those thoughts create an easier life for us, like going down to the store. Somebody thought about that store. Somebody thought about the goods that were created that are in that store. So the more that you think, the better you get at thinking. And the better that you get at thinking, the better you get at creating the life that you want. So, Paul, those are my thoughts back to you.
Love them, Todd. Really appreciate you. Man, you said some profound things there. The more that you think, the better you get at thinking, and the better you get at thinking, the better you get at creating and manifesting things into your life. So true.
Paul,
I'm going to have you explain that movie to me a little bit more later on, man, because it was deep. Go ahead, George.
Paul, George.
Yeah.
I'm on my second time watching it, so I know it's a tough one.
Go ahead, George.
Yeah, I was thinking just now, just free thinking, my experience with Ben relative to the subconscious mind level. And we used to, when I was in the Navy, we used to be underway, and we'd have the midnight watches, and they were always boring. We used to do a lot of philosophical discussions. And one of the things that keeps coming back to my mind is everybody might agree on this phone that the speed of light, and there's nothing faster than the speed of light. Would everyone agree with that, Paul? Would that be a basic premise that we'd all agree to? Nothing
Most
is faster
people,
than the speed of light, right? But then if you are actually moving at the speed of light and you take one step forward, are you not now going faster than the speed of light? I mean, we should ponder that and say, yeah, well, how would you ever measure it? Because that's the subconscious mind at work, and it knows no limitations, and that's all I want to add.
Great thought. Appreciate that, George.
Paul, good morning. It's Doc Fran.
Good morning, Doc Fran.
I was waiting for this chapter to come up for discussion. And I'm just absolutely sitting back and loving all of the understandings and cognitions and consciousnesses that are being expressed and coming out of this. There's a couple little things that I wanted to drive home for the value, things that I took out of this chapter and learned. And the first is that this book was written in 1910. Think and Grow Rich was written in 1935. So this is a seminal work that formed at least part of thinking that Napoleon Hill had years later. There's many pieces in that are highly, obviously, indicative of the thought in this book because they're essential truth. And essential truth is immutable. It always was true. It always will be true. It is eternal. so when we talk about this formless stuff.
Hey, Doc, let me stop you real quick. I apologize. Someone's coughing in the background. Could everyone please star six and mute your line so we can hear Doc clearly? Apologize. Go ahead, Doc.
Not a problem. And thank you. So the formless stuff of this book, or formless substance that he talks about, is the ether that Napoleon Hill references. And the reason that they use those terms to try and describe an invisible phenomenon in our universe and in our reality is the fact that it's pure energy. And you can't see energy. You can see the effects of energy. But one of the things from quantum physics, again, is if those of us that go back and remember our high school physics and our college physics, we talked about atomic particles. And the reality is that when you look at any substance, anything that our perceptive mechanisms are tuned to perceive as a coalesced or unified unit of energy, and that's all the physical forms that we see are our perception of an accumulation of energy that has assumed the shape and form that we perceive it to have. And inherent in that is that in every solid object, there's literally more space than matter. And now when you're getting down into the subquantums, we're finding that even within what were considered to be the mass of atoms, the proton, the neutron, there's actually space between them. There are subparticles within that. So all of this is energy, and we are all energy. And so that is why thought can be transmitted into form. Because as we think, so shall that formless substance, that ether, that energy be coalesced. And that's why I wanted to drive back to, we've all talked about the importance, and Mel spoke to it directly this morning in our opening comments about the impact of self-talk. And most of our self-talk is always critical of ourself in most people. And so when you make a comment internally to yourself, where you say, you know, well, this can happen for Paul because he's Paul, but it will never happen for me, or any negative thought that you have internally, that's all it takes, folks. Thought is what creates formless substance to take the shape that your thought dictates. And if you repeat that thought over time, if you repeat it subconsciously, if you repeat it consciously, if you repeat it verbally, that is what creates your formless substance in the manifestation that you perceive it. So, you know, be careful of your thoughts. Thoughts do become things, and that's the mechanism by which it happens. So back to you, Paul.
Fascinating, fascinating stuff. Wow. I really appreciate those comments, Doc. You articulated a very complicated subject. You really put it down into simple terms that even I could understand. So thank you. I really appreciate that. Star six, who's next?
Judy from Florida.
Judy, go ahead.
Well, I just, you know, I want to double dip here. What brings to mind is, you know, what we've been talking about, negative and positive thought, and I live by this. And I have lived by a quote that I thought was by Emerson and found out from Lindy it is not, but it's profound no matter who wrote it. It's, what you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you say. And that, to me, transcends into self-talk. When a person is negative, that's what I see. It's not what they say. That's what I see. When a person is positive, that's what I see. It's not what they say. It's what I see. And so I have lived with that quote in the forefront of my mind for 3 decades, no matter who wrote it. And I just wanted to throw that out and thank you so much for this call every day. You are awesome. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Judy. Appreciate those thoughts, and I love that quote. Hey, Doc, I got to ask you a question. I was hearing you say formless substance, ether, pure energy. Would the term consciousness be kind of thrown in? Could the term consciousness be thrown into that category as well?
Absolutely, because, you know, consciousness is energy. That if we want to get to a totally metaphysical plane, the entire universe is this consciousness, is this formless stuff. And it always was and always will be. And the supreme consciousness, the supreme being, the creator of all of us, the creator of all things through us, is pure conscious energy. Because thoughts are waveforms, and energy is waveforms. It's so fascinating when you get into that part of physics where you talk about the difference between wave dynamic and wave physics versus particle physics. They're actually two subsets. And then they found, now that they're just actually different perceived forms of the same thing. We are all pure energy. And that's what it was, the wildest thing when I duplicated that concept in college, and I would look at my hand and I would realize that even though my hand looked very solid and it was very, I mean, you can move it, you can control the movement of these particles, but it's all apperceptive mechanisms. Our senses are designed to allow us to function in this illusion of a real world that we all exist in. When you literally conceptualize that there is nothing solid in our universe, even though we perceive it to be solid, at the true energy level, it is all space. It is all energy. It is all ether. It is all formless stuff. It is all pure consciousness. And that's the exciting thing, and we'll get into this philosophically as we go on, but that's why I'm so excited about where the world is and where it's going, even with all of what we observe to be potentially negative occurrences and events, et cetera. It's also beautifully orchestrated to move to the next revolution that will change this planet for the better for all future eternity. But that's just my personal belief. Talk to you later.
Paul and Doc, George here.
Thanks, Doc. Go ahead, George.
I just want to, Paul and Doc, I just want to, what I'm sitting here listening to, I'm coming to a one-word summation of what Doc was talking about, and that consciousness is the manifestation of all those elements at one time. Is that a fair assessment, Doc?
It's yes. I mean, you can say that. Consciousness is the evolving awareness of the ultimate realities, the ultimate truth. And we're all working towards that path. If we ever achieved that, we would literally be God.
Doc, are you also saying that then that consciousness is intelligent? It is intelligent.
Well, it's more than intelligence, Neville. It is an awareness of awareness.
Okay, beyond.
That's right. Intelligence implies conscious thought.
Agreed.
Consciousness is beyond conscious.
It's an unconscious.
Passionists feel like, right?
I don't know if we're going to get this solved today here in the next minute, folks.
So, the bottom line, folks, is that, this is really driving home the central point. Our whole purpose with this is a business group. The purpose is to make money. And the purpose of this book is to teach us that there are very exact, duplicable scientific steps that every one of us can do and use to make money. And none of us have employed or applied that to the level that we're all capable of doing, including myself. You know, I live at a level of consciousness with regards to money that my limiting self-beliefs will allow me to have. The amount of money that I have may be greater than some on the phone. It may be less than some on the phone. It's certainly less than a great many of the observed individuals who control vast, vast, vast percentages of the entire known wealth on the planet. But it doesn't matter, because as we've heard from this, this is an infinite supply. Think of what Wallace Waddle said in this chapter. Whatever we can conceive of, if we need more, consciousness will create it out of infinite energy. We'll never run out. You know, I mean, there's many people that love to make us think that we have scarcities on our planet, that there's only so much oil, there's only so much gold, that's why we have an inflated value or an artificially assigned value to things. But it's a game. There's absolutely no basis in reality or fact for any of that stuff. And yet we all have that common agreement, and that's what's really fun. That's what makes our life exciting and interesting. But if we need more, whatever we need more of, by conscious agreement and by thought, whatever we think we need will be created perpetually and eternally out of this perpetual and eternal formless substance, this ether, this consciousness, this energy, whatever term you know we have in our own limited ability to even articulate these concepts, it will be there for us. If you don't have enough money, it's not because there's not enough money in the world. There's an infinite amount of money in the world and increasing all the time. If you don't have love in your life, it's not because there's not enough people in the world. There's billions of people in the planet. You just have a poverty consciousness. And Paul talked about this, about the difference between having poverty consciousness, scarcity, lack, versus an abundance consciousness. And that's where the rubber meets the road for each and every one of us on this call, is how do we feel about all of the things that we think about, and what are the limiting beliefs that are creating exactly what we experience? And we need to examine ourselves and look at our thoughts, look at what we hear. Many people, when they listen to what people say, they basically listen to hear things that they already know and agree with. I talked about this yesterday. So listen for things that you don't agree with or you don't understand, because that's the frontier for you personally in terms of where you need to go to contact those subconscious beliefs that are operating in your life and my life every day. If I had high-level consciousness, if I had a higher level, I'd be a Ted Turner, or I'd be Abramovich, or any of these, you know, how many billionaires are there on the planet today? If that, you know, is that one of my purposes? Don't know. Haven't defined it. But clearly it's not been, because I'm not one. So we get to play at whatever level we want, guys, and it's all up to us. So I've talked enough. Back to you, Paul.
Fascinating journey we're on together, ladies and gentlemen. It's thought-provoking. It's inspirational. It's exhilarating to talk about these things and really strive to understand the truth of abundance and the truth of consciousness and energy and the fact that, you know, our reality is definitely somewhat of an illusion. And the exciting part of that is that we can create our ideal future within our minds and see that come into our reality. So we're going to close the call out. We've gone a little bit over an hour. I want to thank everyone for your participation, and we will continue on with our study and our endeavor to understand these principles and apply. And here's one thing I'll also say that I think is important. We don't need to understand everything on a deep level to be able to apply these things and see them work in our lives. So if by chance some of the things that were talked about on the call today were a little bit deep, which they were for me, that's okay. As we move forward and study this book together and learn what we need to do in our lives to make these laws work for us, we don't need to understand how they work. We just need to understand that they work, and we need to understand what we need to do to make them work. So let's get out there and make it a great day, folks. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Take care, everyone.